You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Hey everyone, Kara Bradley here, your host of Real Women Courageous Wisdom. I am excited to bring to you today Amanda Stewart. Amanda is a mom of two, 30-year-old mom of two, who has made it her quest to help spread the word about the prevention of breast cancer. She has a really powerful story to share. I am not going to even come close to explaining it as heartfelt as she will. So welcome, Amanda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kara.
It's wonderful to have you. Amanda's coming to us from England, outside of London?
Scotland.
Oh, Scotland. I'm so sorry. That's why we had some trouble with our time zones. Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us. And tell us a little bit about how you found Women for One and how sharing your story has helped you.
Well, basically, I was on Facebook and found the page. It was someone had shared one of the positive quotes, and I thought that's fantastic. And I had a wee look at the page. And when I had a look into the page, there was the option of sharing your own story. So having been posting things on my own Facebook page for the past year, I thought this is a great opportunity to try and basically get the story out there a wee bit more. So I just started typing stuff in and contacted the page, and we got a response to say that they would really like to go with it because it could really appeal to some of the people out there on the webpage. So we've kind of, over the past month or so, we've kind of brought the story together just to try and get it out there to other women to try and be a bit of a support for them. And that's the main thing, just to try and break down the barriers of breast cancer prevention, because it is a scary world out there and people can be feeling really, really alone. And I just wanted to try and reach out and help them. So the page has been fantastic to try and bring it all together. And you've been so enthusiastic with me. It's been great just to get it all out there. So I'm really pleased that the story went live today, and the reaction has been fantastic so far. So I'm hoping that it can just, even if it touches one person, that's all we're looking for. So yes. Hopefully that's how it goes.
Well, and as I told you right before when we were prepping for this show, just reading your story, I immediately forwarded it to a friend who is going through something similar that you went through. So it is amazing the power of our stories and how much we can, as women, you know, that's what we do. We just share wisdom with each other, and to have the internet and to have people like you out there willing to share what you've been through is really miraculous in a word. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me get it out there.
Well, yes. And so tell us, can you tell us a little bit about your journey in the last few years?
Yeah, basically I would say that when I was in my 20s, I was told that we did have some form of genetic linked to breast cancer, having had my mum, aged almost 50, been diagnosed as the last of five sisters. There's four sisters have had breast cancer out of the five, and then when they checked the family tree above that, there's been another three, and then in the generation below, there's now a second cousin of ours who's also had breast cancer. So there's approximately eight or nine cases of breast cancer in the family, and my biological grandfather had prostate and bowel cancer, which they think could possibly be linked, and that's where the gene's coming from. So basically it was every year we were going for screening, and it was basically you had mammograms from the age of 25, MRIs from the age of 25, and physical examinations since I was 26. So every year I was having to go for all these kind of things. And I just had my wee boy in 2008. I was pregnant with my wee boy when my mum told me she had breast cancer. So you can imagine you're on an absolute high and then your world just collapses because you're told this for your mum. Having witnessed two aunts go through it, losing hair, the kind of effects of chemotherapy and radiotherapy it has in the body. And then we actually lost two, one in 2007, one 2009. And I just couldn't bear to put my kids through the same. So I spoke to the breast care consultants and asked them, what's my options with this? And they said, this is where the prevention comes in. And they talked through basically a procedure. It's quite a long procedure because you have to get psychological consultations first to make sure that you know exactly why you're having the operation and you know exactly what the outcomes are going to be. So that all happened about January last year. And my reasons were, I have two kids. My wee boy's seven. He'll be eight in December. My wee girl's four. And I want to be here as long as I can for them. And having witnessed my mum and my aunts go through it, I just thought, if they'd have had this opportunity, they'd have grabbed it with both hands. They wouldn't have went through the treatment they had to go through. So I was kind of doing it for them. It was a wee bit like in-your-face cancer, you know, taking me. So that was why I set up the page, because when I asked the psychologist, I asked the consultants, look, what am I going to look like with this? Is there anything I can go on and have a look at? And they says, no, we don't want to scare you. You don't want to go through the horror stories. Don't Google it. Which you immediately go and Google it, and you see the failed procedures, the failed reconstruction, and it terrifies you. And there's nothing out there for anybody to put anything in words with that, to say, actually, that was me at the start, and I came through it, and I'm fine now, and this is me now. So I wanted to be that person. I put myself out there as that example. And I did lose a side for reconstruction. I did take infection on the left-hand side, and I was as I like to term it, it's quite a kind of fond terminology, I was a unifib. The word fib is prevalent in the prevention circles of, it's a fake boob, but I like to think it is a fake, free, fabulous boob, because at the end of the day, this is me now. I don't have what nature gave me anymore, and I've just got what I am, so that's where I kind of, that was the way that I kind of thought of it as well. So always try and put a positive on it. And there were some low points. There were some really low points. The day that I lost the expander, the tissue expander, was the day of my wee girl's fourth birthday. And it was the lowest point that I've ever been at. And it's a day that you should be remembering, the day your wee girl came into your life. And instead I was in a hospital ward, dreading going down to the surgery to go and get this taken out. And on the flip side of it, it wasn't that big. It's another birthday that I'm going to be there for in the future. And at the time, it was hard going. But as I say, it's now I'm on the other side of it. It's not that big a deal. And the people on the page, there's lots of women on the page who get their journey ahead of them, and they've actually started their own page as well.
Excellent.
So it's kind of pushed people onto doing the kind of, pushed them on to doing their own wee bit, and kind of prompted them to say, do you know what, actually I'm going to share this, and I'm going to have it as an online diary there for me to see at the end of it what I've came through and how strong I can be at the other side. So it's been fantastic. I've loved every minute of being able to share things with people, and it's total strangers out there that are coming in and they're saying thanks so much. And they've helped them. Also, one of the women said to me, I'd helped them understand how their mum felt going through things, because their mum was very closed and didn't talk about it. And they says, reading the blogs that I put up, I was doing a daily blog. It was intense, but I felt it needed to be. I felt it had to be that in-depth. It had to kind of touch people on a personal level to say, actually, this is exactly what I'm going through. This is how I'm feeling. This is the good side, the bad side, the ugly side, and just get it out there. And they were saying how their mum was very kind of private and quiet and didn't share anything. And reading that, and then they spoke to their mum and she read it, and she says, that's exactly how I felt.
Wow.
So getting there it was kind of touching people and saying, you know, actually, you're not alone. There's other people out there who feel the same as you. Mm. So it's been really, really good. As I say, we had a 97% chance of getting breast cancer. The reason it's so high...
Wow. 97. You said 97.
97, yes.
Wow.
For people with the BRCA gene, as I call it, the BRCA gene, it's approximately 85 to 87% chance of getting breast cancer. The reason ours is so high is because there's been 8 cases. It's never skipped anyone. It's been prevalent in 2 generations so far. In our generation now, there's a second cousin, so it is coming down the line continually. And they basically say, we can't rule anybody out. We're just putting you all at 97%. So to have a 3% chance of not getting breast cancer, I would be luckier to win the lottery than to do that. So I had to do it. Looking in the faces of my kids, and I know the fear that came with being told over and over again, and I couldn't put them through it. They'd already lost their uncle. My brother-in-law passed away with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2012, age 32, and they've had to witness the loss of an uncle. I didn't want to have to put them mm-hmm. through the same fears with myself. So it was a big decision, but there was a lot of support from them. We're quite lucky in obviously the UK with the NHS. There's a lot of different professionals that you can speak to about it. But nothing like this, nothing on a personal level. So I want to be that example.
What a fantastic. I mean, you know, there's so much on the internet, like you said, that can just bring us down to our knees, you know, mm-hmm. the worst case examples or the real antiseptic, doctor sites, perhaps, that just scares you or tries to give you encouragement, but it's not that personal touch. But to have people out there like you, you know, that have elected to have double mastectomy, correct? Yeah. And for those of you listening, the picture of Amanda is really just breathtakingly beautiful on Facebook, and I believe now on Women for One. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so it really is a must see and such a victory for us, I think all of us as women, to see that. I mean, you don't realize, and I'm sure it's a little scary for you to realize, but what you're standing for and how you are really supporting people out there. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and for having that courage. I mean, to be in your early 30s and now you call yourself a previvor, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a survivor. Previvor, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not a survivor. It's a preventative warrior is what I want to say.
I kind of nailed it in the head. Basically, I came across it on one of these kind of sites where you're Googling stuff and you're kind of putting in preventative mastectomy, and the word comes up, and I've totally embraced it. It just suits me a T, because people always come on the page and they'll say, you're so brave, you've fought this. And I said, I didn't have cancer. I never put myself in the same shoes as a cancer survivor, because I couldn't fill them. Cancer survivors, to me, they're godly, because I've had my mum, I've had my aunts, who they're legendary to come through this and be at the other side of it. Myself, I don't feel as if, I don't know what the word would be, I don't feel as if I'm less than them, but they've went through so much more. So a previvor is my kind of terminology, and I love it. It was just one of these words that just stuck. And to all the people out there that are preventing it, and like people will say, oh, you've took the easy way out. Angelina Jolie took the easy way out. She's a wimp. She's a wuss. And all. This is by no means wimpish to be faced with. I breastfed my 2 children. I loved breastfeeding. And I breastfed them for almost 8 months each, and to have that connection with them and then to lose that part of yourself, I went through a grieving process with it, and I felt sad to have lost that part of me, but I've got my two kids. I didn't plan having any more, and that's just the way it is now, that this is the new me and the evolved me, and this is how I'm going to go on with my life, just previving.
Previving. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if we all took that attitude of preventative measures for our health, mental health, physical health, wow. You know, I love that word. I might adopt that in a different way in my own life, you know, because really, I mean, if we all just take the responsibility for the chips we've been given, right? Because we can't choose those, all right? We can't choose our DNA, but we can study it and get curious and then get courageous about how to live the most brilliant, healthy life we can with what we've been given.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, there was a girl on the page, and she says, she private messaged me, and she was talking about it and how she had had the same, and she had had the infections and different things, and she says, I don't know how you can stay so positive all the time. I don't know how you can be as upbeat with it. And what I tried to say to her was, I don't feel as upbeat as this every single day, but what I try and do, and I was on the slippery slope with it. It was one of these ones where I could feel the kind of, as you say about mental health issues, I could feel the depression coming over me, and I didn't want to let that win either, because having lost the implant and not knowing, they were kind of left in a wee bit of limbo for a while. So it was about 3 months I was left without an implant on one side. Mm-hmm. And so you're left in that wee kind of state there where you're kind of thinking, is this ever going to be righted? Am I ever going to look normal again? And am I ever going to be the way that I expected to be? And what I said to the girl was, I take one positive every day. Mm. It doesn't matter what it is. And sometimes my one positive was picking my wee boy up from school. And as he walked out the door, he put a smile on his face at me because he saw me there. That was my one positive. It didn't need to be a huge, big thing. It was one wee tiny positive, and that was all it had to be. So I said that to the girl, and she says, you know, it's a fantastic piece of advice, and that's exactly what she does now, as well. So so that's what basically that's what I try and kind of pass on to the kind of the people who are, I don't call them followers, they're just friends now.
Friends.
They've came over the past year as a girl, and every time I see a name coming up, I'm like, oh, I knew, because it's like a friend you've not seen for ages. I've never met these people. There's people from New Zealand, there's people from Portugal, there's people from Australia, they're from all over. And you just don't get to know them face to face, but on the web, then you can just, you've got that contact, and they know that they can come to me as well. There's a girl who's just been pre-assessed for an operation, and she messaged me tonight just to say thanks so much for taking the time out to personally talk to her. But she's a friend, and that she's not someone following my page. She's a friend. Mm. And I think she's actually following Women for One now as well. So she's one of the girls that's kind of spurred her on to make her own page as well. So, and she's doing so well. She's doing really well. So hopefully she'll continue to keep with the positivity as well.
It's so wonderful. Before I forget, please tell everybody again, what your Facebook page is?
The Facebook page is Mastectomy My Way, Cancer You Lose.
Say that again.
Mastectomy My Way, Cancer You Lose.
Mastectomy My Way, Cancer You Lose.
Yeah.
And you will, and if you just put that in Facebook, we will find you. And it's a great site. There's so much activity. And I love what you say about being friends. I think that really is what embodies Women for One and this podcast series, is that when we share our stories, we do become friends. We become friends around the quilting table, you know, women, or the knitting circle, or the bread table, or whatever women used to do in the past to share wisdom and to share stories. And it does, it takes all of the separation away, and it just helps us to be one-on-one, friend-to-friend, woman-to-woman, just sharing our experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, been able to ask some of the girls. The girls have been fantastic on the page. They've been sharing photos. They shared the pictures with me. One of the girls is she quite like myself, because she's quite upbeat and positive. And she sent me a message last week asking, would I like to see her nipple tattoos? Yeah. And I was like, of course, we show away, kind of thing. And it's been great, because obviously she's a step ahead of me. So I'm also getting support and getting a wee bit of reassurance from her as well. So it's turned into a huge, big community that is just, it's fantastic. I absolutely love being part of it. And it's just something else positive to come out of this.
Yes.
This could be a negative diagnosis of, yes, you could end up with breast cancer. Instead, I've prevented it. I'm now down to 5% risk, which is now lower than the average woman. The average woman sits at about 12% risk.
Wow.
I'm now sitting at 5. And I've gained a huge amount of new friends who can help support me on the other side as well. So it's basically what would you call it? It's priceless. That's the
priceless.
Word. Priceless. To have this
oh,
community.
That's amazing.
So happy.
Thank you for sharing for Women for One. Thank you for being on our show. Thank you for having the courage to do what you did, and to then not only do it for yourself and your family, but then to also share it with the world. It brings me so much hope. It really lights me up just to know that we're all out there. Most of us are out there really just gunning for each other. So thank you, Amanda Stewart, for joining us. Please go visit her on her Facebook page, Mastectomy Cancer Take That.
Mastectomy My Way.
My Way!
Well, Cancer You Lose.
Right, Mastectomy My Way, Cancer You Lose. Excellent. Thank you for joining us from Scotland. And for all of you listening, I hope you enjoyed this incredibly inspiring woman, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, KaraBradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful everyday women.